please once more take your Bibles, turn back to the gospel text, which Matthew and Maddie read. It's great, isn't it? It came from the book of Matthew, and we had a Matthew and a Maddie read it. I love that. You know, a lot of folks can point to what in kind of the Christian or evangelical subculture is known as those mountaintop experiences. Those times when we have a special encounter with Christ and are drawn more into a meaningful relationship with God through that. I would dare say that of all of you that stood up when Mary was talking about camp, that camp has been one of those places, one of those occasions where you had an experience like that, where you came to know the Lord better and got came deeper into your faith because of that. I was thinking about characteristics of those as I was reflecting a little bit on this passage, how those times can be exciting. They are often unforgettable and many times for us life-changing. So in the gospel reading for today, the three disciples, Peter, James, and John, they literally had a mountaintop experience with Jesus. It happened on, as Matthew tells us in his gospel, on the top of a high mountain. Now, a little bit about what's the context for this, what was the setting for this experience for these three disciples. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospel, the account of what we have called Jesus' transfiguration follows two important things, and it occurs in each of the Gospels. For the first time, right before Jesus goes up to the mountain, he explains to his disciples that he must suffer many things and then be executed. In that text that takes place before the transfiguration in each of the three Gospels, Jesus basically says that he will be persecuted, he will be executed, and then he will be reconstituted. He'll be resurrected to new life. And then Jesus follows this up, and it's the same for Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He follows this up by telling his disciples what it takes to be one of his followers. What it takes to be one of his followers. He says you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and then follow after me. Now, this is the first time in all three of the Gospels that Jesus has told his disciples, and we know that by disciple we mean someone who is a follower of Jesus, this is the first time that he has told them about the outcome of his mission, and it's also the first time that he has described the sort of all-out commitment required to be one of those followers. Now, in Matthew's account, Matthew tells us that Jesus' followers, they had about a week, about 6 days to really think about what Jesus had told them before he then chose these three closest disciples of his, Peter, James, and John, to follow him up on that mountain. And there's something happened that changed these three followers of Christ, that changed their lives. And I want us to think just for a few moments about what happened to them on that mountain with Jesus, and then what their experience can teach us about our own experience with Christ. The first thing that happened to them is that their vision, their understanding of Jesus expanded on that mountain. It got bigger. It got bigger. So, kids, one of the great things for you, right, when you come to church and you go down in Kingdoms Kids, isn't it one of the best things that after you go down to Kingdoms Kids, you learn something new about Jesus, something new about what he taught or how he acted that sort of surprises you, and then you get to go home and you get to tell mom or dad about that. That's pretty cool, right? You like that, Liliana? You like that? Yeah, there you go. Of course. I just love that. You love to see the enthusiasm when we learn something new about Jesus, about something that he taught or a way that he acted. But the really sad thing is that sometimes as we grow older, we stop learning new things about Jesus. It's a sad thing that for some of us adults, our understanding of who Jesus is hasn't changed much from when we were in Sunday school or even confirmation class. And I think a big reason that that happens is we stop reading and studying God's Word and learning about the Bible. Now, when Jesus was up on that mountain with Peter and James and John, two other people who had lived on earth a long time ago joined him. And you hear about that in the text. There was, can anyone tell me who the other two people were? Anybody? Moses, yeah. Elijah, yeah. Moses and Elijah. And Matthew tells us that they were talking to Jesus. This is in verse 3 of chapter 17. Now that's just a plain old miracle. That's what that is. And then the disciples heard another voice, and it came out of this huge cloud. Unlike kids, when you were down here with Hannah and you were under the black blanket there, I most of you I heard say you weren't really afraid. But when the cloud came down over the disciples on the mountain, Matthew says they were terrified. And out of that cloud came this voice, and it was the voice of God. And it said, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him." This was the voice of God the Father speaking about his Son Jesus. Now the cloud would have reminded Peter, James, and John of the presence of God as he led Israel out of Egypt and through the wilderness and then into the promised land. Remember, as we were looking at those texts in the fall, that God accompanied his children out of slavery, you remember, and led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And seeing Moses would have reminded Peter, James, and John about the Ten Commandments, for Moses was the great lawgiver of God. While Elijah, the great prophet, would have reminded these three disciples of all the writings of the prophets contained in our Old Testament. And so I think it's helpful for taking all these together. These three witnesses to Jesus can be seen to represent our Holy Scriptures today. For it is the written Word of God that reveals to us who Jesus is, what Jesus taught, and how we are called to be his followers. And so for our vision, for our understanding of Jesus to expand and to take on greater meaning for us, it's just really important that we keep studying and obeying God's Word. It doesn't stop when we age out of Kingdom's Kids or confirmation. And so for all of us this morning, it's a good question, I think, to ask ourselves. When was the last time your vision, your understanding of Jesus got bigger? When was the last time it expanded, got bigger? It happened for these on the mountain. And so I think today is a good day to pray that our vision of Christ would expand and our understanding of him would go deeper. But there's one last thing I want to point out. One last thing I want to say about what happened to Peter, James, and John on that mountaintop. It's understandable that when one's vision of Christ expands, when you have this new insight into who he truly is, to be overwhelmed by that, to be just struck, to be taken down, to be taken back by that. That happened, of course, to the three when they were in the presence of God in that cloud and hearing that voice, they were terrified. And so did you see what Jesus did when that happened? What does Jesus do? He touches them, and he speaks a word of peace to them. He says, get up, don't be afraid. Get up, and don't be afraid. And hearing those words and feeling the touch of our Lord, the text records they looked up, and then they saw only Jesus. I think one of the things that happened to Peter, James, and John on that mountaintop is they experienced something of the presence of Christ, all these witnesses, the experience of that, of kind of encountering Jesus as fully God. It's where the text sort of starts in chapter 17 in Matthew, that this Jesus, this one they've been walking with, this one they think they're kind of getting to know, he's much bigger than what they realized. He is fully God. But when the text ends, before they start to go down the mountain, they also experience Jesus as fully human. By the way, he comes to them and offers his strength and his peace. So that the one who is worthy of our worship as God in the flesh is also the one who is personal with us, who loves us and is kind toward us, who touches us where we are hurting, and comforts us when we are afraid. So I think it just makes sense. It makes sense, doesn't it, to focus our lives on Jesus. Whether we find ourselves in one of those rare but wonderful times on the mountaintop, or whether we know that these days we are in the valley of suffering and struggle where things are really hard for us, or just in walking the daily path of our everyday life, to keep our lives and our minds focused on Christ and learning of him and having our vision grow as to who he is. Thanks be to God. Amen.